Tonight's shiur is titled Stories from the Gemara, Accepting Forgiveness. So tonight we're going to look at several stories at the end of Gemara Yuma. And the topic of the stories is referencing the idea of Mechila, accepting forgiveness. And I think it's appropriate also coming into Yom Kippur that we talk about this topic. So before we get to the stories, which tend to be similar to the stories from previous shiurim, let's look at the introduction of the Gemara to the stories, and we really have to understand the halacha of Mechila before we can analyze these interesting stories that really don't seem to make a lot of sense on the surface. So let's look at the Gemara. It's Maseches Yuma, Daf Pei Zayin Amud Aleph, and it says, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Sir Yitzchak said, Kol Maknit Es Chavero Afilu B'Dvarim Tzarech Lefaiso. So anybody who offends his fellow friend, even if it's just with words, so he has to ask him for mechila. He has to appease him. Shenamar, as it says, "Bini imarafta l'reicha takata l'zar kapecha no kashda b'imrei ficha." It says in a pasuk in Mishle that it's referencing the idea that if you offend your friend, you have to ask him for mechila. It says, "Bini imarafta l'reicha." If you've come in surety to your friend, and you've struck him with your hands, and you've been ensnared by your mouth. So either you've hit him physically or you've offended him with your words. Ase zos efo b'ni v'hinatzel. This is what you should do and save yourself. Kivasa b'chaf reyecha, leich hisrapes v'raha urahav reyecha. So it says if you came with your palms, come with your palms to your friends, and also humble yourself and urahav reyecha, and send friends. Im mamon yesh b'yadcha, hater lo pisas yad. So if you have money, give him money from the palms of your hand. V'im lav, harbe alav reyim. If not, give him lots of friends. So what does this pasuk mean? So basically the Gemara says, Rav Yitzchak says, that if you offend your friend, if you make a comment about him, negative comment, you have to ask him for mechila, you have to appease him. And it quotes this pasuk. So let's look at Rashi to explain the pasuk. Look in source number 2. It says, B'ni imarafta l'reyecha, Takat lezar kapecha bishvil zar laarvo b'mamon oim no kashtem imreficha shek not to so bedvarim. So either you owe your friend money, or you've offended him. Asi zos v'natzel. This is what you should do to save yourself. Kivas v'kafriecha iske mamon. So if it's a monetary issue, if you owe your friend money, lechis rapes yadu farlo, repay him the money that you owe him. V'amokshe imreficha. And if it's imhiknitaso, if you've offended him, rahav reyecha, harbe reyim, levake shemena mechila. Bring with you lots of friends and ask for mechila. Reyecha basar dekra, maleksiv, lefishu lashon rabim. So reyecha is male, there's a yud in it. So it's teaching you that you should bring lots of friends to ask for mechila. So the pasuk is just teaching you that if you offend your friend, even if it's not physically, let's say you owe him money, if you owe him money, you have to repay him money in order to be saved from the Avera. And if you offend him, you also have to ask for Mechila. And not only that, but you have to ask with friends. And the Gemara continues. Keep going. Look in source number 1. We're going to explain these ideas. So it says, Amar Rav Chisda, V'tzarech Lefaiso, B'shalosh Shiro Shel Shlosha B'nei Adam. So Rav Chisda says that you have to appease him. How do you appease your friend? How do you ask for Mechila? With 3 rows of 3 people. Shenemar Yosher al Anashim Vayomer Chatasi Vyasher Havesi Velo Shavali. So the second halacha, the first halacha is that you actually have to ask for mechila if you offend somebody. The second halacha is that you have to go back 3 times. Look at Rashi. Rashi says Bishalosh Shiros Shalosh Pamim Yifaisu. You have to ask him for mechila 3 times. Bishlosha Anashim B'chol Pam, and you have to bring 3 people with you at each time. Shenemar Yasher Lashon Shura. The pasuk says Yashor al Anashim. So Yashor means Yashor means a shura, a line. A line is 3 individuals. So you have to bring 3 individuals with you to ask for mechila. So then the last halacha. There's 3 halachas in this gemara. Amar Rav Yosi Bar Chanina kol mevakesh matam mechaver al yevakesh mimeni yoser mishalosh pamim shnemar ana sana ve'ata sana ve'imis sana sorry ve'ata sana. So if you The most times you have to ask him is 3 times. And then finally it says, Vim Mis, if he dies, maybe Asar bnei Adam, Uma Amidan al Kivro of Omer Chatosi Lashem al Kesra of Lefloni Shechabaltiba. Let's say the person that you offended died. you still are a chayv to ask for mechila. What you do is you go to his grave, and you go with 10 individuals, and you ask for forgiveness. You say, chatasi l'Hashem, and also to this individual that I damaged him. Okay, so there's basically three halachos. The first halacha is the most basic, that when a person offends another person, could be a man or a woman, you have to ask for mechila. The second halacha is the three times halacha, that you have to go there three times with three men or three individuals. And the third halacha is that even if the person that you offended died, you have to go to the kever, you have to go to the grave, and you have to ask for mechila. So the question is, what is the idea of the three times, three individuals three times? And lastly, what is this concept of asking for mechila from a dead person? Why do we have to ask mechila from a dead person? Why does that halacha exist? What is the concept here? So before we explain the Gemara, and then we'll get to the stories. The stories really follow from this Gemara. They're directly after this Gemara. I feel like we should look at the Rambam. The Rambam categorizes these halachos pretty nicely in the Yad. And we're going to explain the categorization of the Rambam, and then with that, we'll use that as the basis for understanding the stories, these strange stories in the Gemara after this. So the Rambam is in source number 3. It's Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Beis Halacha Tes. It says, Eina tshuva velo yom ha-kippur mechaprin, ela al avero shebein adam ha-makom. So tshuva and Yom Kippur only provide man with kapara, with atonement, for averos, for sins that are between man and God. Kigon, for example, Misha achal davar asur, o baal bi'ila asirach yotz behen. So if you ate something that was asur, or you had an asur relationship, so and similar types of isurim, so that's where tshuva and Yom Kippurim work. Aval avero shebein adam l'chavero, if there's an avera between a man and his fellow man, kigon achol v'as chavero, o amakalo chavero, o gozlo, if you damage your friend, or if you curse them, or if you steal something from them, uchiyotz ben eno nimcha lo la'olam, achi yitin l'chavero, mashu chayev lo v'yirtzeyu. So you have to give back what you owe your friend, and he has to accept it. Afa pisha hichzir lo mamon shu chayev lo, tzarech l'rtzoso v'lishol mimeno shiyimcholo. And even though you return the money that you owe him, you still have to ask for mechila. It's not enough to just return it, but you have to ask for mechila. Afil lo hiknit es chavero el bedvarim tzarech l'faiso v'lifgo bo ach yimcholo. Even if you just offended your friend, you still have to ask for mechila. Lo ratza chavero limcholo. Let's say your friend says, sorry, I don't want to accept your apology and your request for forgiveness. Maybe lo shura shal shlosha b'nei adam, mereyav. So you bring three of his friends, upoginbo umavakshin mimenu. And then you encounter him and you ask him for forgiveness again. Lo nisratza lehen. If that doesn't work, maybe lo shnia ushlishis. Then you have to do a second time and a third time. Lo ratza manicho v'holeich lo v'zesh lo machal hu achote. So if he doesn't want to, at that point, so it's enough. You don't have to ask more than three times. And at that point, the person who you've asked for mechila is really the chote. Vim haya rabba holeich uva fil al pamim achim cholo. Right, but by your Rebbe, by your teacher, so really you have to go forever. So if you offended your teacher, let's say you said something bad about your Rebbe, you said you didn't like his shir for whatever reason, but it was aggressive. So in that situation, you have to ask him for mechila, and not only do you have to ask him for mechila, but you have to keep going forever. Even if he says he doesn't want to give you mechila, he doesn't want to accept your mechila, he doesn't want to accept your request for forgiveness, so you still have to keep going to him forever. So the Rambam continues. So the first halacha is pretty much what the Gemara said, that you're really chayv to ask for mechila from your friend, to ask for forgiveness, and you have three times, and if three times is the most that you have to ask, and at that point you don't have to ask anymore. So we have to understand what this idea of three times and three people is. What is that concept? Okay? The Rambam goes on in halacha yud and halacha yudal. I'll read through these halachos, and then we'll try to define the basic point here. So in halacha yud, he says, Asr la'adam yos achzari, so it's aser for a person to not accept the forgiveness of a person asking. He should rather just be accepted willingly, and he shouldn't get angry. So a person should just accept the request for mechila. Even if the person was so offensive to him Lo yakum lo yitor v'zeo darchem shel zera Yisrael. You shouldn't take revenge and not accept this request for forgiveness. And this is the one of the features and characteristics of zera Yisrael, of the offspring of Klal Yisrael, v'libam anachon, and this is the appropriate type of reaction. Aval ovdei kochavim ar leleiv einakein ela v'avartem shamar netzach. So the Ovdei Avodah Zarah aren't like this. They hold grudges. V'cheinu omer al givonim l'fish lo machlu v'lo nispaisu v'givonim lo b'nei Yisrael hema. So the givonim are not Jews, and they had this feature of being hard. They wouldn't accept any type of request or apologies, and they were very tough people. But the Jews are different. Jews are supposed to be people who accept forgiveness willingly. So that's the second halacha. And finally, the last halacha, it's the lachir alef. Hachote lechaveru umes chaveru kodim shivakish mechila. So let's say you offend your friend, you did something wrong, and he dies. Maybe asar bnei adam umamidin al kivra. You bring 10 men, go to the grave, v'yomer bifneyam chatasi l'ashem l'kei yisra v'lefoni zeh shekach v'kach asisi la. Right, so you have to say that you are a chote to Hashem and you're a chote to this individual. V'ima yachayv l'mamon yachzir l'yorshim. If you owe money, you have to give it to his inheritors. So if he doesn't have Yorshim, so you give it to Beis Din and then you confess. Okay, so three halachos in the Rambam parallel to the Gemara that we just did in Yuma. So the first halacha is that a person has to ask for forgiveness and he has to go a maximum of three times, and each time he has to go with three individuals. Then the second halacha is that the Jew should be accepting of the request for forgiveness, and you shouldn't be too hard. And the third halacha is the idea that if the person that you've wronged dies, so you have to go to his grave, and you have to ask for forgiveness with 10 men. So the question is, what is this need to bring men with you? Why three men, three times? What's this halacha? And why does the Rambam categorize it like this also? Because you would think that halacha yud aleph, the halacha of that if the person dies and you bring 10 men, should come before, or could come before. I mean, I understand why he's putting yud there somewhat, but you can see a little bit of a difference in terms of categorization. He could put halacha yud aleph before halacha yud. So we have to understand what the Rambam is getting at here in his categorization. But the main halacha, the main question is, what's this need for three times with three men? And this idea of after the person dies, that you bring the 10 men. So what exactly is the purpose of the mechila, and how does mechila work in... What's the Gemara and the Rambam trying to teach us about Mechila? Okay, does anybody have any possibilities before I give a svara, an idea? And then we'll get to the stories, which are, I think, tied to these ideas. So I think
I have a question.
Sure.
Hello?
Yeah.
About why only when you go to the Kever, although I'm not sure, you tell me if I'm wrong, you ask Hapas Baha Shem, and then also Hapas to the person, you have to do that also when you do it when an individual who's alive, you have to say that?
I don't think so, no. Your Vidoy to Hashem doesn't have to be in front of the living individual, I don't think. But it's a good question. Why is it different? It's a good question.
Right.
Okay. So I think the main idea in the Rambam and the Gemara, possibly, is that the purpose of... I think you were kind of hitting on that with that question, but the purpose of the Mechila, of asking Mechila, being Adam Mechavero, is really not for the person that you're asking Mechila from. Meaning, the person that you're asking forgiveness from is really... It's not really meant to appease that person. Because if it were, then the halacha would be that you should constantly keep going back to the person. There wouldn't be a maximum. And the Rambam says that the person who doesn't accept it is a chote at a certain point. But still, if the idea of asking for mechila was that you need to get the forgiveness of the person that you wronged, if that's like the essence of mechila, so then you should have to go to that person forever. You should keep having to go to that person because you can't get any type of... You can't get any closure until you get the person that you've wronged to accept your apologies. So I think the key over here, the Iker idea, is that the purpose of asking for Mechila is really for the person who's asking to really perfect himself. And the person who's accepting the forgiveness is really just a pawn. He's just a means of perfection. So why does the person have to bring three individuals if it doesn't work the first time? So I think the idea, or the idea of 10, what's the idea of 3 and 10? So the idea is that really the purpose of asking for mechila is for the person who's asking to break down the source of offending his friend. Meaning, why does a person offend, basic philosophy and psychology, why does a person offend his friend? What's the basic flaw? The basic flaw is a sense of ego superiority. So a person feels like they're entitled or they're above the other person, and that's why they're making fun of them. So the concept of mechila is that it's a breakdown of that feeling, of that sense. And it's embarrassing for a person to go to another person and ask him for forgiveness and admit that he wronged him. But it's even more embarrassing to do it in front of people. Three people, I think, the idea of three people is that it's not private anymore. It's not, Eser is a public, is an idea in the congregation. Ada is 10. But really the idea of three is that it's not a private type of admittance, it's public now. It's no longer private. So the idea is that a person, real purpose of mechila isn't to really appease the person that he wronged. It's really that the person who asks for forgiveness perfect himself through the process. And the way that you perfect yourself is by lowering yourself or denigrating yourself. And the person that you've wronged is just present as part of that, as part of that process of the person asking for mechila denigrating himself. Because when you wrong somebody and you have to go to that person and admit that you've wronged them, so that in itself is a perfecting act. It denigrates the person. I'm not talking about emotional denigration. I'm talking about philosophical denigration, where a person can really understand that he's not superior to anybody else, not superior to this person. And bringing three people is an idea, not an idea in getting the appeasement and getting the forgiveness of the person you're asking, but it's really an idea in the person asking for forgiveness, that he do it in front of three people, that he's willing to even go so far as embarrass himself. I'm using the word embarrass, but I mean put himself down, recognize this idea in front of, in a non-private way, in more of a public way. And that's why, that also explains why you're still chayev to go if a person dies. Meaning, if it were about the getting the forgiveness of the person, then it wouldn't make any sense that a person should go to the grave and do this. It doesn't make any sense. But what the Rambam and the Gemara is showing you is that the essence of mechila is really the person asking for mechila, the person asking for forgiveness. He goes to the individual that he's wronged in order to create an environment where his tshuva and his breakdown of the source of the insults and offense can really be worked on, can be broken down. And that's the idea of the halacha of going to the grave too. And in public, there's a public, I don't know what the difference between asara and shlosha is, but the idea, the concept of asara is the concept that a person has to do it publicly. Meaning a person has to be able to break his ego down. And you can only do that appropriately, or the best way to do that is in front of other people. So if you can't do it in front of the person you've wronged, so perhaps the idea is that to have 10 people is equivalent to that. It's almost an equivalence to actually asking the person that you've wronged vis-a-vis your perfection, vis-a-vis the person asking for forgiveness's perfection. So I think that's why the Rambam also talks about the characteristic of the Jew, that he's supposed to accept it. Meaning the purpose of the person who's accepting the forgiveness should recognize that it's really not about him, that this process is not about you accepting the forgiveness. It's really about the person asking for forgiveness and him creating a situation of vulnerability to perfect himself. So you accepting the forgiveness are just a means of helping this man, of helping this woman or man perfect themselves in this process. So just the main idea, I think, in the Gemara and the Rambam, and we'll see these ideas play out in these stories coming up, but the main idea is that mechila is, in essence, not about the person that you're asking forgiveness from. It's not about making him feel better. It's really about the person who's asking, creating an environment or a situation where he can break down the source of this offense, the source of this wronging of his friend. And the source is superiority, is ego. So by bringing himself to ask for forgiveness from the person in front of him, and even bring three people, he has to constantly work on that, and there's a maximum amount where we say that at a certain point he's achieved that level, he's achieved that perfection. But you don't have to go beyond that, you don't have to go forever. And the halacha by your Rebbe makes sense also, because by your Rebbe really knows you. So really, if he doesn't accept your mechila, it's because he wants you to keep working on it. He sees that there's more opportunities for the mochel, for the person who's asking for mechila, to keep working on himself. So really the essence of mechila is not about, again, it's not about the person who's accepting the forgiveness. You don't have to make him feel better. It's about the person asking for forgiveness. The whole thing is about him. It's about creating an environment and a situation where he can perfect himself, where he can work on himself. And here are some stories in the Gemara, some interesting stories that support some of these points, but also give us some new insights into mechila. Okay, so the stories are as follows. The last story is very difficult, so when we get to it, if anybody has any possibilities, you know, perhaps you can share on the phone. But the first couple stories, there's four stories here. So it says like this, in source number four, it says, Rabbi Yirmiyah havalei milsa l'Rabbi Abba b'hadeh. So Rabbi Yirmiyah did something wrong to Rabbi Abba. We don't know what. Rashi says in source number five, havalei milsa l'Rabbi Abba b'hadeh. Look on the next source sheet. Rabbi Abba hayolo l'Yisrayim al-Rabbi Yirmiyah shechatalo. Hazor Rabbi Yirmiyah esev adash de Rabbi Abba. So somehow Rabbi Abba had some complaint against Rabbi Yirmiyah because Rabbi Yirmiyah did something wrong to him. It's not clear what. Maybe he offended him. So Rabbi Yirmiyah went to Rabbi Abba's doorstep to ask him for forgiveness. And it says, Azal Esav Adashar de Rabbi Abba. Go back to source number four. So he sat on the doorstep. Bahade de Shadya Amse Maya Mata is Rizifi de Maya Aresha. The maid, Rabbi Abba had a maid, and she was cleaning out all the dirty water of the house. And she spills out the water, and it falls on the head of Rabbi Yirmiyah. So he's sitting outside the doorway, and the maid comes outside with the water and spills it all over his head. Amar, Rabbi Yirmiyah says, Asu'uni ka'ashba. I have been made into a garbage can. Basically, the maid made me into her garbage can. So Kara Nafshe, he read this pasuk about himself, Me'ashbos Yarim Evyon. From the poor, Hashem will bring up from the poor. It's Me'ashbos Yarim Evyon. But Me'ashbos is really like garbage, like ashba. So he read that pasuk. So look at Rashi. Rizife demai, and we didn't read this Rashi on source number five. He tells us tipi shofchin. It was the drops. Shahisa hashifcha shofeches. So the maid was dropping. It's rizife tipin. They're just drops. V'domelo kirvim zirziyef aretz b'seif tehelim. So it means that there are drops. So the Gemara says that he read about himself, me'ashbos yarim evyon, that he's like a garbage. He's like a garbage heap himself. So the achronim say, based on this, so I think we'll read the Marsha, that at this point, that he held that he didn't have to ask for mechila anymore. So then it says, Shama Rabbi Abba v'nafik la'ape. So Rabbi Abba heard about this story, and he went out to him to greet Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Amar Leh, he said to him, Hashta trichana l'mefak adaitcha. Now that this happened to you, so I have to ask appeasement from you. Dichsiv leich his rapes urahav reecha. So it says, go and humble yourself and send friends. So look at the Marsha in source number 6. Amar leh hashta trichana l'mefak midaitcha. Now I have to ask you for mechila. Kenu b'nuskos gemara shalano v'rotzul omar. What is it saying? Amar leh rav abba leh rav yirmiyah ad hashta basa lehotzi midaiti masha chatasi lach. So originally, you were going to come to me to ask me for mechila. Hashtash shemitoch besi zilzulibach lasoscha ke'ashba. You've been made into a garbage from my household. Hare anat zrichana lahotzi midaitcha shetimchol al shizilzulo b'cha. So now I have to ask you for mechila. I have to get your forgiveness for this zilzul, for this denigration. So the Gemara's stories, this is the first of the four stories. So the first story is difficult because the story is saying that Rabbi Yirmiyah, I think they learn out, the Gemara's, the Achronim, and I think some of the Rishonim learn out that Rabbi Yirmiyah went to go ask for mechila, and the maid dropped water on him. He says, I'm like a garbage can, and then he wasn't chayiv anymore to ask for mechila. And then not only that, but Rav Abba goes out and says, now that this has happened to you, I have to ask you for mechila. So the question is, what's this Gemara trying to teach us? First of all, Rav Abba didn't do it. He didn't spill out the water. His maid did. So why does he have to ask for mechila? And second of all, why did Rabbi Yirmiyah believe or maintain that he himself? Why did Rabbi Yirmiyah maintain that he was putter once it happened? Right. So those are the questions on the story. So I think there's two points here. Based on the ideas that we've mentioned before, in explaining the Gemara, I think we can understand the chiddush of a story, the chidushim of a story. There's two chidushim, I think. The first chiddush is about Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Rabbi Yirmiyah was like a garbage, and he says, "Me'ashbos yarim evyon." So what does that show you? So it shows you that Rav Yirmiyah was able to achieve the perfection of Mechila without actually asking for Mechila. So why does he was Pater for Mechila. So the Gemara says he was Pater, he didn't have to ask anymore. So what do you see from that? It strengthens the point that was made before, that really the purpose of Mechila is really to perfect the person asking. It's not to actually appease the person that you've wronged. So the idea is that Rav Yirmiyah was able to achieve the perfection, the advantage of asking for Mechila without actually asking for Mechila through this process. He says, B'ashpos Yom Rav Yon, maybe he really felt denigration. He really felt a lack of superiority. Almost he was in a garbage can. He was a garbage. So he felt that without asking for Mechila. So it shows you that the essence of Mechila isn't really the asking and the appeasement. It's really achieving a certain state of the person who's asking. And Rav Yirmiyah was able to achieve that. And we see the opposite is true too, another idea in Rav Abba. See, Rav Abba didn't actually do it. So why should he ask for Mechila? So the other idea is that it seems like what you have to say is that Rav Abba had a certain satisfaction. There's some happiness that he had in hearing that Rav Yirmiyah was wronged. And that's why he had to ask for Mechila. Because if not, if there was no satisfaction at all, so then why would he ask for Mechila? He didn't do anything. So the Chiddush is teaching you two ideas, this story, I believe. The story is teaching you that Rabbi Yirmiyah is showing you that you don't have to, you can achieve, there's a possibility of achieving the perfection of asking for Mechila without actually asking for Mechila. So it shows you what Mechila is about. It's really about the person who wronged the other person creating an environment where he can perfect himself. And the second point is Rav Abba, that Rav Abba himself realized that even a slight satisfaction over somebody's downfall in itself, a friend or a colleague's downfall, is in itself the flaw, the very flaw of machnid es chavero, of offending your friend, because it's really a sense of superiority that you're happy that your friend is now like a garbage. So even that demands an idea of appeasement. Even that demands that the person who feels that way internally should work on himself, should try to achieve to lower himself, to create a situation of tshuva. Okay, so that's the first story. So the first story is Rav Yirmiyah Rav Abba. The next story is easy. Okay, look at source number 7. It fits in perfectly with the Gemara's before. Rav Zeira, ki hava le milsa bahade inish, hava chalef vitani lakame umamti le, ki hechi denese v'nepok le midaite. So Rav Zeira, when he knew that somebody wronged him, look at Rashi, mamti nafshe, lifnei mishachata lo, ula yivakesh menu mechila v'yimcho lo. So if he knew that somebody offended him, and he would go to that person and he would just walk around them a couple times. And he was hoping that the person would come to him and ask him for forgiveness. Chalef etani, over rishonim, mishalash palmim rabos. So he would just walk in front of people that he, let's say he heard a rumor that Reuven said something bad about him. So what he would do is he would go into Reuven, he'd see Reuven on the street and he'd just walk by him a couple times, you know, hoping that Reuven would ask him for mechila. So what does that show you? What's the purpose of this story about Rav Zeira? What does that show you? It shows you that Rav Zeira really embodied this idea that the person asking or the person accepting the Mechila is really just a pawn. He's not really the essence of Mechila. And Rav Zeira was willing to put himself in the situation where he would hear, you know, terrible things about him, because the person asking for Mechila has to admit that he wronged him. So Rav Zeira was willing to accept that, and he was willing to hear that in order to perfect the person, the other person. So he understood, Rav Zeira understood the role of the person accepting Mechila more, and that's really the idea that the Rambam was hinting at, that a Jew is supposed to be accepting a Mechila, meaning that a Jew is supposed to recognize that the purpose of Mechila is not for himself, it's not to make him feel okay, but it's really to help the person who's asking. So Rav Zeira was the embodiment of that idea, that concept. That's why if he knew that somebody wronged him, it didn't offend him, it didn't affect him, he would go around that person and try to, he wouldn't say anything to him, but it sounds like he would walk past him because he wanted to give him opportunities to ask for Mechila. Okay, so that's the second point. Now the third story, each story gets more crazier than the next. So the third story is more difficult. And I think we can explain this story, and then the last story is the hardest. So Rav Havale Milsa Bahade Yahu Tabacha. These are all stories. They're right one after the other in the Gemara, after that first Gemara that we read. So Rav Havale Milsa Bahade Yahu Tabacha. So what happened was that Rav had a conflict with this butcher. This butcher had wronged Rav. Lo asa lekameh, and the butcher refused to go to Rav to ask him for forgiveness. So b'mala yomi yoma dechipure on Erev Yom Kippur, which the Gemaras learn out that there's an idea of asking for mechila on Erev Yom Kippur from here. Amar ihu, Rav said, Ezel ana lefiyusei leh. I'm going to go to him, you know, I'll talk to him, and maybe he'll ask for mechila. Meaning Rav was really didn't wrong the butcher wronged Rav, but Rav was going out of his way, like Rav Zera, to create an opportunity for this butcher to ask for mechila. Okay, look at Rashi. Bahade tabacha, hatabach chatala. So the butcher had sinned, had offended Rav. Ka'azil abba. Okay, so fine. So the Gemara goes on. Go back to source number 9. So Pagabe Rav Huna. Rav Huna approached Rav as Rav was going to visit his friend the butcher in the butcher shop. Amrle, lehecha ka'azil mar. So Rav Huna said, where are you going, Rav? Where are you going to? Amrle, lefuse leplanya. I'm going to appease this butcher. I want this, basically saying, I'm going to figure out a way that I can get this butcher to ask me for mechila. So Omar, he said, Ezel abo lemikdal nafsha. So Rav Huna said, you're going to kill him. Okay, so the Gemara goes on. Rashi says, lemikdal nafsha achshav hu ma'anisha lomos. Now he's gonna be punished, and his punishment will be death. Okay, azel v'kam iluya. He didn't listen to Rav Huna's advice, and he went to the butcher anyways. Hava yasev v'kapali resha. The butcher was chopping this head off of an animal. Dali ene v'chaza, and he looked up and he saw Rav, the butcher. Amarle abba at zil leisle milso b'hadach. He said to him, I have nothing to say to you. Go. I have nothing to say to you. That's what the butcher said to Rav. Bahade deka pali resha ishtame garma. As he was chopping the head, a bone flew off. Umichaya b'koe v'kale. It hit him in the throat and he killed him. So the Gemara's story is that, so that's the end of the story. Look at Rashi. Tava Resha, Mishaber Atzamos Roshal Behema. He was breaking the bones of an animal's head. Bikue Bigar Garaso, in his throat. So the story is that Rav went down like Rav Zera. He created an opportunity for this Tabach, this butcher, to ask for Mechila. Rav Huna says, don't do it. But Rav doesn't listen. Rav goes down. The butcher says, get out of here. I have nothing to say to you. And as he's chopping the bones of the head of the animal off, the bones fly off and they hit him in the throat and they kill him. Okay, so what's the idea of this Gemara? What's the chiddush of this Gemara? What is the Gemara trying to teach us? This strange story about Rav is teaching us that Rav Huna had this nevuah about it, this situation. What exactly is the purpose of this story? So I think that there's another idea here. So I think the purpose of the story, just another insight into Mechila, because it's our topic for tonight, is that really the story showing you that when a person asks for Mechila, when a person offends another person and they don't ask for Mechila, so that's one flaw. That's like the same, we mentioned before, it's the flaw of a person sensing a certain superiority. But when a person rejects an opportunity to ask for mechila, like in this situation, Rav created an opportunity, and the person rejected, this butcher rejected the opportunity, it sounds like that's a new offense. A new offense is created in that situation. So there's the chiddush, that's why it says manisha lamos, meaning why was he chayav misa? He wasn't chayav misa before when he offended Rav. It sounds like this was a second offense. So the chiddush of the Gemara is that you could look at the butcher's offense of not accepting Rav's appeasement, you could look at that as the same offense, that really he felt superior to Rav and he never gave that up. But the chiddush of the Gemara is saying, no, that really the butcher, this situation of rejecting an opportunity to ask for mechila is really defined as a separate offense vis-a-vis Rav. So that's a chiddush. So that's a chiddush in mechila, that you should look at a rejection when you have an opportunity to ask for mechila and it's right in front of you and you reject it, so that in itself is another flaw that has to be worked on. It's a separate flaw. It's not the same flaw being manifest, but it could be a separate flaw, a separate instance of offense. Okay, so the last story is
Yes, that is for sure the other idea also. Meaning Rav Huna sensed that, and he told Rav, it wasn't a nevuah, he said to Rav, this is not going to be a good situation. Rav was totally, he was unaware, you know, he was, you know, that was the flaw that Rav had, he was unaware of the situation, and you're right, yeah, I agree. So that's another idea here. The other idea is also the person who's, you know, willing to accept the mechila still has to be, he still has to be careful in terms of who he should approach. Right, correct. Right, the last story, if anybody has an idea on this last story, I'm just going to leave off with this story because it's very difficult for me to define. So maybe somebody on the phone line can help. So look at source number 11, the last story in the series. Rav Hava Pasuk Sidra Kameh de Ravi. So Rav was, learning, teaching in front of Rabbi. Ayel Asa Rav Chia Hadal Risha. So Rav Chia came in to this Beis Medrash, let's say, and he went back to the beginning of where he started, you know, where he started from. So he started reading Matei Pesukim, and then Rav Chia, out of respect for Rav Chia, who walked in, he started from the beginning. Ayel Bar Kafra Hadal Risha. Now then Bar Kafra came in, he went back to the beginning. Also, Rav Shimon Rebbe Hadal Risha. So Rav Shimon Rebbe came in. He went back to the beginning. Also, Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama. So Rav Chanina Bar Chama walks into the Beis Medrash. Amar Kule Hai Nedar Venezel Lohadar. Basically, he was tired of going back, and he said, "I'm not going back to the beginning of the parsha that I started from. I'm just going to keep going." Ikbid Rabbi Chanina. So Rabbi Chanina was upset about this. He felt offended. Azal Rav Lagabe Tleisar Mali Yom Dechipure Glorifies. So Rav went to him 13 times on Erev Yom Kippur, and he never gave him forgiveness. He never forgave him. So Vehechi Avid Hachi. So the question, there's two questions. How did Rav do this? Valmar Vyosi Barchanina Kol Vakish Matu Mechavero. If you ask for appeasement, Al Yevakish from the Yosir Mishalish Paman, you're not supposed to go more than 3 times. It says that Rav went 13 times. So the Gemara's answer is Rav Shain. So Rashi says, Rav Shani Machmir Hayalatma. He was very Machmir. It sounds like it's saying that Rav was really working on himself. There's like a Midas Chasidus here, that he kept going back because he wanted to really perfect himself. He really wanted to create this situation, and he never felt like he achieved that. So he kept going back to him. But then the question is, what about Rav Chanina? Rav Chanina, Hechi Abidah. How did Rav Chanina do this? Why didn't he just forgive him? So it sounds like if a person is forgiving, so it's good for him. His sins are forgiven. So Ella Rabbi Chanina Chelma Chazilei LeRav Dizakfu B'Dikra. So what happened was Rabbi Chanina had a dream where he saw that Rav was hanging in a tree. Ubimiri, and there's a Gemara that we learn out, or not a Gemara, it's we learn out Lechol Dizakfu B'Dikra Reishahavi. Anybody who's hanging in a tree, it's a sign that they're going to be a leader. So Amar, he said, Shmamina Abay Lame'aved Rishusa Veloi Fais Kihechi Deleza Ligmar Raisa Bivada. So Rashi's going to explain what this means. Look at Rashi. Chelma Chazalei L'Rav. Rav fell Omar Rav Shital Uhu B'deka. So he saw a dream. Rav Chanina had a dream about Rav that he was hanging in a tree. In a palm tree. It's a sign. Apparently, if you have a dream like this, it's a sign of being in a high position. Rav Chanina Rosh Hashiva Hayat. Rav Chanina was Rosh Hashiva. Ked Amar Rebbe, Bishas Kiraso, Chanina Bar Chama Yashav Rosh. So Rebbe said that when Rav Chanina died, that he was the head. He was Rosh Hashiva. Ukshirah Cholom Zeh, Rav Dog Vamos. When he saw this about Rav, and he sensed that Rav was going to be this great leader, he was scared for his own death. Rav Chanina. If he she'ain malchus no gas b'chaverta, he knew that he couldn't be Rosh Hashiva and Rav be Rosh Hashiva at the same time. Meaning that you can't have two kings. Amar idchia mahacha, v'yivrach lebava v'panai v'sham yarosh v'lamidchim mavos b'shvila. So his plan was to keep pushing Rav off. Eventually Rav would get frustrated and leave and go to Bava. And then he'd learn in Bavel, and he'd be Rosh Hashiva in Bavel. And that way, Rav Chanina wouldn't die. So the story is that Rav offended very slightly Rav Chanina, and Rav Chanina, and he goes back to Rav Chanina to ask for forgiveness, and Rav Chanina says, I can't forget. He says no, he keeps saying no. So the question is why? So Gemara says that, A, Rav was very mocked on his own perfection, so that's why he keeps going back to him. But Rav Chanina, the story is that he had a dream about Rav. He saw Rav hanging from a tree, and in his mind, the idea of of a person hanging in a tree is a sign of gedula, a sign of greatness. And he knew that Rav had the potential to be a Rosh Hashiva. He was Rosh Hashiva. He didn't want to lose his ability to learn. He didn't want to die because he thought that he couldn't be Rosh Hashiva at the same time. So instead, his plan was to push Rav off so that Rav would move to Bavel. And therefore, in Bavel, Rav would succeed. And he would be Rosh Hashiva there, and that way Rukhanina was protected. Okay, anybody have any possibilities for this story? Anybody? I was thinking about this story all day, but I didn't have a smarter. I had one idea, but I don't really have... It's a difficult story. It's an interesting story. Okay, why don't we just leave off with that story? I think it's interesting, the story, the idea of the dream, obviously is... I mean, with our knowledge of psychology, it's an unconscious wish there, that there's some... He had some fear... Perhaps, or he sensed that Rav was going to be great, not just because of the dream, but he sensed that Rav was going to be great because of his talent and his abilities. And the dream of seeing somebody hanging is obviously some type of wish fulfillment on the part of Chanina, that he wanted him to die. He recognized that. It sounds like Chanina recognized that he had a tremendous aggression towards, underlying unconscious aggression towards Rav. And he wouldn't be able to keep it under wraps. So the idea was that it was the idea is that Rav Chanina was trying to maintain his own level. He couldn't work on this aggression, he couldn't undo it, so it sounds like his best option was to create an opportunity or situation where the flaw wouldn't come out, where the flaw wouldn't be manifest. So I guess that's the idea. Maybe the idea is that Rav Chanina, from the standpoint of the person accepting forgiveness, recognized that if he did that, it would affect his own ability to protect himself. It would affect his own ability to work on his flaws, so he wanted to avoid them. But still, he needs a lot of explanation. That's the most thing I can keep going. Alright, so let me just summarize. We did come out with some good ideas tonight, so let me just summarize the share. The main idea in the share is the idea of Mechila, and it seems like from the Gemara and the Rambam that the essence of Mechila isn't about the person who's accepting the forgiveness and the apologies, but it's really the person who's accepting it is supposed to be a pawn, is supposed to be just a means of creating an environment for the person asking. And it's really about the person asking. The person is supposed to work on the source of the flaw, which is his ego. And the ego leads man to a feeling of superiority, which leads to offending your neighbor. So you have to break that down. The way to break that down is to admit you're wrong to your friend. That in itself breaks it down. But even if that doesn't work, you still have to keep going. You have to go to the point where you're willing to even embarrass yourself in a more public setting. So without the individual alive, you have to do it in the Eda with 10 people. I think that when the person's alive, that was one of the questions, but I think when the person's alive, the fact that you're doing it in front of him, in and of itself, creates an environment of somewhat embarrassment. When the person's dead, you have to recreate that. The best that you can do is being public, having attention. But I think the main purpose, the main goal of the Mechila is for the person who's accepting it, and for the person who has it. And that's why you even have to ask the Mechila from somebody who died. Meaning it doesn't matter if the person accepts it, it's more about the person who's asking. Okay, so that's the main idea. But you see from the story some interesting insights. The first story was showing you that the person, Rav Yirmiyah, achieved that level without asking. And Abba even had to ask from Kila a slight sense of satisfaction for the downfall and the garbage making of Yirmiyah to garbage by me dropping the drops of the ball. The second story was Rav Zera. It shows you that Rav Zera had this idea. He understood that his role was really to facilitate perfection. About him. That's why he was willing to put himself in a vulnerable state, walk by people who belonged to him in order to create an environment of achievement. The third story is about Rav. So Rav and the butcher. So we said the story of Rav and the butcher is to teach us either that two ideas. One is that Rav, that if a person rejects the opportunity, that in itself is a separate offense that has to be worked on. And the second possibility is that the person who's the recipient of the apology has to be careful in terms of the approaches. Because this
same case with him that told Rav not to go, Rav ignored him. So you see that you have to, if you want to facilitate an opportunity to tshuva, the person who's accepting the tshuva has to be very careful, and the person who's supposed to ask the tshuva also has to recognize that another flaw in the approach. And then the last story is a strange story, which is the story of Rav Chanina and Rav, how Rav Chanina refused to give Rav Kamara, or appeasement, refused to accept his forgiveness. And there's a whole story with the dream that somehow Chanina couldn't forgive Rav because there was some type of idea that he couldn't get over, or some unconscious aggression that he had towards Rav, or he had some type of fear that he couldn't overcome, and that's why he was leaving. But still, the last story needs more information. So if anybody thinks of anything, send me an email. In the meantime, everybody have a good job.